Good evening. Like most children, I was afraid of the dark. At bedtime, Mum and Dad would prop open the bedroom door and let a bit of light in from the landing. It was a warm glow of reassurance, except sometimes they forgot and turned the light off. Of course, if I wasn't already asleep, that meant darkness. We know how children feel, don't we? If you've got children or young children, you know that many of them don't enjoy the dark. So imagine 800 years of darkness. That's about the length of time between the two situations described here. The situation in Isaiah chapter 9 and the situation in Luke chapter 2. That's a long time to wait in the dark, isn't it? You see, for the people of Nazareth and the region of Galilee, life was marked by invasion. It was the first place to be awash with the Assyrian army as it smashed through the northern part of ancient Israel on its warpath. In the 8th century BC, they dissolved the region entirely, packed off the population to Assyria, and brought in their own people. It was ransack and regime change in one move. And fast forward 800 years to the time of when Luke is writing, and things are not much different. It's a different regime and a different repressor or oppressor. But we know from our school history, don't we, that the Romans were not exactly known for their kindness. So you can imagine the people of that ancient land thinking, how on earth is God going to come good on this promise when it's been dark for so long? When will even a chink of light break through? To all intents and purposes, it would have looked like the message in Isaiah chapter 9 was just wishful thinking, wouldn't it? Just Isaiah's wishful brainchild, a way to help him cope along with everybody else. I don't know what you understand of the Christmas story, but maybe this is what you think. Maybe you think the Christmas story is a way for people to cope with pain, a way to manage darkness. Yes, engineered, not maliciously, but with good intentions. Maybe you have come here tonight seeking comfort. And whether that comfort is rooted in history is not important, but you want comfort. But you see, we know that there are just some situations in life that demand both comfort and truth, where what's promised isn't just sentimental, but solid and dependable fact. When the doctor says, "Miss Parsons, I'm glad to tell you that you're in remission," that's more than comforting, isn't it? It's comforting because it's true. The treatment's worked. The darkness is gone. The light is here. You're going to live. So what's the diagnosis for Isaiah chapter 9? Well, by Luke chapter 2, it doesn't look very good, does it? Caesar Augustus wants taxes. Taxes mean a census. A census means registration. And registration, for people like Joseph and Mary, means 70 miles on foot. And it's not like anybody has a choice about it. But then, right there, in the land of darkness, in the land of pain and oppression, Luke notes this. So Joseph, the descendant of King David, gets on the road with his wife Mary, who happens to be pregnant with who? With the Messiah. To us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom. The dawn has come. The baby is born. The darkness has gone, and God has done it. We're going to live. My friends, this is more than comforting. It is comforting because it is true, because it happened, because God brought the light of the world into darkness. Friends, I do not have all of the answers to pain or to loss, because I do not have all of the answers to even my own pain or my own loss. Personally, I do find Christmas very complicated, and it quite often makes me sad. And I even battled with sadness as I prepared to speak tonight. But what I keep coming back to, what my firm consolation is this. With this God, there is hope. With this God, there is hope. Not sentimental hope, not plaster hope, but real, solid hope. Because the same God who fulfilled that 800-year-old promise is the same God who will fulfill all his other promises as well. Let me give you some examples of his track record. If you read on in Luke's biography, we read that Jesus, who is God, says to a disabled man, "Stand up and walk." And he walks. When Jesus says to somebody who everybody else shuns, "I forgive you because you've come to me for life," it happens. He is forgiven and he receives life. When Jesus, who is God, tells his followers, "I will die for your sin and yet rise from the dead," he does it. And so when he further says, "I am going to my Father and I will return," he does it and he will do it. When he says, "I will bring judgment on the darkness and I will restore the world to my light when I return," friends, he will do it. When he says to the brokenhearted, "I will never leave you and I will never forsake you," he means it. When he says to you, "I love you and I died to make you mine," he's telling you the truth. Because when God in Jesus Christ says he will do something, he does it and he will do it. That is the comfort of Christmas. The comfort of an 800, well, more than 800 years now, message. The comfort of all that waiting in the darkness is that as sure as night turns to day, light is on its way. The darkness does not have the final say. God does. I sometimes have people say to me as we talk about matters of Christianity, they say, "I wish I had your faith, Vicky. I wish I had your faith." As if faith were, I don't know, a skill that one is born with. Maybe that's what you think. "I wish I could have faith like that." But if you talked to me the other day, you would know I'm not a Christian because I summon strong faith. It matters not how much trust you put into a person. It matters not how much trust you put into a person. Rather, it matters far more whether that person can be trusted. You can mightily trust a weak branch to hold your weight and be disappointed when it breaks. But even the tiniest amount of trust in a strong branch will hold all of your weight. Because it is not the strength of faith that comforts or the strength of faith that dispels darkness. It is God, the reliable and trustworthy branch. He is so utterly reliable. And so I know, and I know for you, we can trust him with our lives. I can even trust him with my death. For even in the darkness, he is with me. Even in the complications, when I am sad, when I am hurting, even when I am angry at him, he will not shirk me. He remains faithful. Friends, the final death of darkness is just around the corner. The last book of God's word says this, that when God returns to make all things right, there will be no more night. The people will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light and they will reign forever and ever. Friends, darkness does not have the final say. God does. That's not just comfort for comfort's sake. That is comfort because it is true. Why? Because God has said so, and he will do it. Thanks be to God. Amen.